6.7%. I mean, I'm not, I don't want to overreact to it. We still got 15 games to go. But let's say the Twins lose the game in hand. Let's say we're just four out of this thing. Because again, there will be no game 163.
Right.
You have to finish a full game ahead. They have the tiebreaker on you for season series. Four games out, 15 games to go. I will give you the game. Let's say the Twins beef the extra game. So start doing the math and let's see what this really takes.
Okay.
So I want you to tell me, in the last 15 games, what does Minnesota do? So for instance, they got three against the Reds this weekend. They got four against the Guardians. They got three against the Marlins. They got three against the Red Sox. And they got three against the Orioles. I'm pretty sure I did that right. 16 games. Chop one of the games off as the extra. In a 15-game rip, I checked the Minnesota papers today. It sounds like Byron Buxton, it's going to be a pain tolerance thing. Mm-hmm. He's got hip soreness, but he wants to be back. He's in the cage. Carlos Correa, who's been hurt since mid-July with plantar fasciitis. I read more about Carlos Correa's relationship with his physical therapist. Not like you with your dentist. I mean, professional.
Flag!
And just the new treatments. Long story short, Correa was in the cage last night. The idea is they will get their two most important players back. But over a 15-game run, pick a record for Minnesota, and then we can do the math on what it's going to take for the Tigers. 8-9.
I was about to say, yeah, if you just 15 games.
Excuse me, 7-8.
I was going to say 8-7.
Okay, so if it's 8-7, do the math. You got to go 12-3. You start to.
Reality kicks in.
Well, or excuse me, it could be 11-4. It could be 11-4 if they're four out, four game differential. Yes. But if the Twins play anywhere close to 500 baseball, it is putting you up against it to where you will have to be flawless. Today was a game you couldn't lose because of this tiebreaker issue. So I wanted to know from the people just kind of where are you at? Again, the thought process, and I'm guilty. I didn't want to start Scooble against the Rocks. I said, let's save him for, you know, you go adjust the start so he's facing Baltimore. And as sports would have it, shout out NIU Notre Dame, you lost with him on the mound of the Rockies. Makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it goes back to what we said yesterday when I thought the three was more obtainable. Why? Because it didn't make sense. Because they were just on this magical journey. I think we both were in agreement. Today was supposed to be a BOGO. Today, if you won, yes, last night, today was the easy game. It was the free square. It was Scooble. He leaves the game. You're winning 2-1. And you figure, okay, you could just put this thing away because your staff has just been doing miraculous things, and instead you lose. And as you said, Mike, it hurts because it was Scooble, and this is the second time in a row because you think that of all the different things going on with the staff, he's the constant. He's the guy that's going up for the Cy Young. You can get enough runs to win the game for you.
So I'd love to know where the people are at with it. Just the idea of how bad is today? Is it an overreaction to say today really hurt? I don't think so. You know, you're just running out of games. I mean, I can say with a decent amount of confidence, if we had a month to go, like if there were 25 games left, not 15, I actually think you would do this. I do. Part of that.
Just running out of runway.
Yeah, I feel like it. And again, it's not, I'm not devaluing anything the Tigers have done. I was with you yesterday. I absolutely believed in the four games out versus three. But like just looking at records, I mean, let's say the Twins really clown car this thing, right? Like they just really play horrific in their last 16 games. So they're going to lose the extra. So you need to be four games better, not five. If they win the extra, you got to be five.
So they clown car
6-10.
I was about to say 6-9.
No, I'm saying they lose
the extra.
Call
okay.
It 6-10. You got to go 9-6. But you see, this is where if the Twins get anywhere near 500, it is going to put you in a position. You're going to have to go 10-5, 11-4, 12-3. Mm-hmm. If the Twins actually play decent baseball and let's say go 9-7, I mean your margin is null. So it's crazy to think they've lost the last two Scooble starts. It really is, but they have against the A's and the Rockies. Now, you could offset it and go, yeah, but guys, they've won every other game. Fair. But the idea is you don't lose when this guy's on the mound. You don't.
No. That was the disheartening thing, especially when he left. You had the lead. You go out there, you get 9 more outs, and this is a whole different conversation that we're having.
Barring something nuts, and like when you're in mid to late September in a pennant chase, winning 3, 4, 5 games in a row is nuts. That's hard to do. Is this an overreaction to say you can't lose the series to Baltimore? You can't lose 2 out of 3 here, right?
I've got to win this series. Mike, I'm wondering, have you gotten to the point where you can't lose a series?
Yeah, probably.
You can't afford to.
Right.
You also can't afford to put up a 4-hit night when Scooble's on the mound.
Yeah. Well, and Kenny, you and I were talking about it early on in the game. And you're sitting here and you're going, look, man, Feltner's atrocious. The Rockies pen is atrocious. Kinley, the guy they bring in to close the game, has got a 6 ERA. He allows an OPS 800. Like, this is a horrendous baseball team. And we were sitting there, and I'm like, you're playing with fire, man.
Yeah.
And even early in the game, it took Riley Green robbing either a double or a home run. I don't feel like adjudicating that. But, like, you had escaped that. You had escaped 2 men on, nobody out. Like, the pressure was on all day, and your offense was providing nothing.
What pitcher had the best ERA on that staff, on the Rocky staff? Which pitcher did they trot out with the best? And what was that ERA? It was like a 5?
Yeah, they're awful.
A 6?
Kenny, they're the White Sox in purple. I think they have 50 wins. So, yeah, I'd love to know from the people. It feels like more than a loss today. If you disagree, there's no yelling and screaming. You could sell me. But Scooble on the mound, you're going for a sweep against the second to last easy team you play. Everything else will be difficult. And you give one away today, as Kenny put it. 4 hits, can't happen. You don't have the margin. Now look, if the Twins continue to fall off a cliff and they go 5-11 in their last 16 games, the whole dynamic of this changes.
Right, but more and more, it's out of your control.
And don't want to get to the hope phase of, can my opponent shove their head so forcibly up their wazoo that I can go 500?
Yeah. Tigers, yeah, you don't want it to be the Tigers have to win 5 in a row and the Twins have to lose 5 in a row.
Right, and today's loss because of your tiebreaker. The tiebreaker situation is what paints this differently. If you had the tiebreaker, well, it's not 4 out as of today or 5 if the Twins win the extra game. It's 3. 3 is 3. Mm-hmm. Much different. So it's a bummer, man. I mean, for Scoob, like to lose a Scooble start at home against the Rocks. I realize the Tigers today were -300 if you're in Vegas. Heaviest favorites in the league today.
Serious?
Wow. That's on that. You can't lose that game.
I almost wonder if there's a little bit of, well, Scooble's on the mound, so we don't have to try. I mean, I hate to accuse a team of that, but they've been trying so hard with these
openers.
That
opinion is Kenny Katz.
No. But I see where Kenny is coming from. Not that you don't have to try, but I would say this, Kenny, you play in a little more relaxed because
you feel like the margin for error is a little bit less.
Yes, that I don't have to go out there and play hero ball because we got Scooble, and I can just go out there and do my thing, and hopefully we win this game. Whereas when you know there's somebody out there pitching that's, you know, straight up from the minors, I got to do a little extra.
How else can you explain 4 hits against one of the worst teams in all of baseball?
But Kenny, hold on. Here's the issue. That's who you are. Like, yes, we've been lost in the sauce here this run. There are still – last week you won a game 2-1. Like, no team in baseball is capable of a 4-hit game like you.
I'm just tired of it either being 11 runs like 2 days ago, 9 runs like yesterday, or 0 runs with 4 hits like today.
There's a lot of volatility. That's part of having a young team.
I said that's been this team's MO all year.
Very frustrating.
I mean, if you think about it, how many 1-0, 2-1 games did they lose in April and May?
Well, at one point, weren't they 0-16 if they didn't score 4 runs?
It was some ridiculous stat like
all that. All of it plays. 248-539-9797. I want to get with the people. We'll get some ticket texts. We got some football to discuss today. has the negativity gone too far with Michigan? No, not being cheating scumbags. That'll never go far enough. But the actual football team. Some interesting perspective by people who cover the sport. Wanting you to tell me whether there's validity to it.
Are you going to say nice things?
Absolutely not. I don't make the news. I just report it. 248-539-9797. We'll talk to the people next. 97.1. All right, brutal Tigers loss today. We're talking about just how bad or, you know, again, if it's an overreaction, call us out on it. But we do have royalty in the building. Normally, he joins us. Guy's body temperature's running at like 130. He comes in here a sweaty mess on Fridays to talk football with us. But Thomas John Lang would like to speak with us today on your Detroit Tigers.
Is he at the game?
I can't confirm or deny. TJ, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, fellas? Man, that game absolutely disgusted me. I'm not going to lie. Mike, and we were texting last night. I think, and listen, I heard AJ Hinch on the morning show this morning talking about, hey, the pitching staff's doing well. We don't want to mess with anything. Dude, I get it. You have 15 games left. You have to win now. But I think it's criminal. Criminal, Mike.
Oh, dear.
That they pitched Tarik Skubal today instead of saving him against the Orioles. And A.J. Hinch said something about, hey, we got to look at the future lineups. We got to look at the – nobody cares about the future lineups 6 games from now if you don't win now. I think it was absolutely criminal what A.J. Hinch did today, putting Tarik Skubal on the mound instead of doing – and look, I get it, dude. You got a bunch of young players, and yes, they have been pitching well. But to not save Tarik Skubal for this weekend series against the Orioles, who are a way better team than the Colorado Rockies, I think was absolute criminal. And you know what, Rico, I thought you made a good point earlier where you said, I think a lot of players do take it for granted. Oh, we got Skubal, man. He'll make us right.
Yeah.
Hey, I can go out there and we'll just, you know, we'll do what we do. But, you know, we got Skubal on the mound. He'll make it right. I was disgusted that they didn't save him. I chalked it up as the win. And to watch that game and to watch how this team played, I thought was bad. It was horrible. I think this is going to be the season-defining game to where, you know what, maybe the pitchers do stay hot over the next couple weeks. Maybe they do end up within a game or two. But I thought this game was absolutely disgusting. And look, another thing I'll say, guys. When A.J. Hinch tells his players, hey, we got to stay with what we're doing, you don't have time for that. Look, if this is June and you say, hey, we don't want to mess with the development and we don't want to mix things around, we got a long season ahead of us, right? I get that. But when you're right here, September 12th, within 3 games, you got to look at your team and say, guys, you know what? We've been doing it right the way – we've won a lot of games doing it this way, but guess what? It's nut crunch time. We got to go win these games, all right? So I'm going to put my best lineup out there. I'm going to save my pitchers for the games that really matters, and you guys got to go pick up the slack. A.J. Hinch doesn't do that, and I think he's so afraid to mess with the young players' development, which I get, but at the same time, you're this close, man. Like, you're this close. You got to change it up once in a while, guys. I was just so – Mike, I know I already said, we were texting about it last night. I was just – dumbfounded how you did not find a way to go to throw a bullpen day out there.
But here's the problem.
Say, you know what, guys, go figure it out. And we need Skubal for this weekend.
TJ, I agree. I agree on principle, but here's the problem. Like, I agree with everything you're saying, but the problem is they didn't win today with him on the mound.
And you just wait, but that's what even makes it worse is you just wasted him.
Oh, well,
you
it's the last
now
two.
Now you don't have Skubal available for the Orioles. You just wasted him against a terrible Colorado team. That's what – it's almost a double whammy. It just hurts so much more because now we don't have somebody to say, okay, at least we've got the Orioles coming to town, but at least Skubal's on the mound tomorrow, right? At least we can steal the first one. That's the thing that hurts. And like I said, I think Rico made a great point where if you throw a bullpen day out there, the guys know – we have to pick up the slack. I think part of you as a player thinks, hey, Skubal's on the mound, man. We can go out there and we can kind of coast. We can kind of cruise. He's going to keep him to a run or two. We'll figure it out. That's what that's the double whammy because now we don't even have Skubal for a crucial weekend series. I think that's what hurts even more.
Yeah. No, TJ, there's no doubt. By the way, TJ appearing at your local ice rink tonight. He is spicy.
And okay, TJ, for the record, Kenny came up with the initial idea.
Kenny was very hurt, credit. TJ, that you didn't accredit him for his lone good point in 2024.
Oh, come on.
He's very upset. TJ hung up the phone. He'd had enough. Thank you, TJ.
Wow.
TJ, very, very
multicultural.
Yeah, very multicultural.
He's diverse. Insult for everybody. Look, you get an insult.
But his look, his point is well taken. I'm not mad at the point. It's just it's tougher when you lose it. But look, this is two starts in a row for Scooble. Remember, they lost that 13-inning insane game where Scooble gave them six innings, mm-hmm. gave them two earned runs. They lost to the A's. And you come back a week later and you lose to the Rockies with Scooble on the mound. Now, this is the team of destiny thing where in between, hey, it's Gregory Gunther and Bob Salmon, and it's like they're winning all those games. You can't drop games with the Cy Young on the mound.
Right.
Now TJ's point is, all right,
you should have played him against the better
but
team.
But only after the Baltimore series are we really going to be able to get not get angry, but to say whether there was value. Because here's the thing, if they had won today, you can't be mad, but you could ask the question, don't you wish we would have had him tomorrow night? When you lose with him on the mound, it's hard for me to muster up anger.
And I guess I may be speaking for TJ, but I think he's saying, let's say you lose with a bullpen day today, but knowing that you have Scooble going up against the Orioles, yeah. you feel a lot better. Okay, we dropped this one. The magic kind of wore off a little bit, but our ace is going to be on the mound.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
And you're right. Like, there won't be a game you'll be as confident. If Scooble had been on the mound against Baltimore, any of these three games, you're going into that going, all right, we're winning one of these games. So if we...
Can we steal one?
I don't want to turn... I'm gonna be Rico from yesterday. Yesterday, Rico was like the bumper bowling. Rico inflated the bumpers so the topic stayed on the tracks. I'm not going to turn into this, but this has been the one problem I have, is the team hasn't done anything to show you urgency. Anything. And whether it was calling up the kids earlier when the season looked lost, they didn't do it. Whether it was DFAing Baez earlier, please, I do not want to hear about Chris Illich's wallet. It is not my problem. Whether it was, hey, we're going to promote Job to Toledo instead of bring him up for make him an opener. Let's get a look. He can't be on the playoff roster, but let's get a look. And to not condensing Scooble's workload, but stretching it out with extra rest. Nowhere along the line have they done the things where urgency could be attached to it. That is the one hangup I have with the magic of the last month, is none of it is geared like the organization is, I hate saying trying, but like how about doing all they can? Is that fair?
That's fair.
248-539-9797. A ton of people want to rap about this. We're going to get right to you guys next. 97.1. All right, we're talking to the people. We've got a bonus call from TJ Lang. And again, I'm not overreacting. You're not done, but today really hurt. I can't, like, BS you. You know, I'm not going to do what Michigan fans do. They'll spit in your face and tell you it's raining. No, I this hurt. Colorado's horrific. You had arguably the best pitcher in the sport on the mound, and you lost. And now you're a full four games out. And if the Twins win their game in hand, it will be five, because there is no tie. They own the tiebreaker. So, yeah, it hurt going into the Baltimore
series. There is no tomorrow.
Stallion, there is no tomorrow. Can I a serious question, Kenny? Can we get that as a drop at some point?
Absolutely.
I need Apollo Creed slapping Stallone in the face. And just, there is no
Damn
tomorrow.
It, Rock.
Right. So I just, look, tell me where you're at with it. I'm not screaming and yelling. TJ was fired up about the Scooble thing. The problem is when you don't win and he was on the mound, it takes a little bit of starch out of that. That's why today feels like BOGO the wrong way.
But see, I am starting to wonder, maybe Kenny was onto something because it was Colorado and because you had Scooble out there. You just didn't give it 100%. It's how you see, you know, Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame, because you're thinking, oh, we could beat these guys with whatever we have, and you relax. But when you play the Orioles, everybody's going to be dialed in. Everybody's going to be focused.
All right, let's get to the people. I want to bump somebody to the front of the line. I want to bring Seth to the table. He's going to set people straight who are overreacting. Seth to the main stage.
Yeah, no, I'm actually going to disagree. I think you guys are overreacting. you know, this is the best span of Tigers baseball in the last 10 years. That's not great, but, I mean, at least they're winning games. They're in games late, you know, and they're finding ways to win for the most part. Sure, should they have won the game? Am I mad they didn't win the game? Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's the majors, right? And you're playing, you know, Major League Baseball players, and, you know, you're not always going to, you know, hit the ball great. And, I mean, that's been the biggest story about them all year. But at the end of the day, I think it's a pretty big overreaction that they've been playing pretty solid baseball for the
last
month.
Hold on, just so I'm clear, Seth, I don't disagree with anything you're saying, but I feel like you're arguing a different radio host. We're talking about the playoff chase. All I'm saying is when you lose a game to the Rocks with Scooble on the mound, it feels like more than one loss. Now, if you think that's an overreaction, that's fine, but I don't disagree with anything you led with.
Okay, so here's my thing about Scooble pitching. And you, starting pitchers have routines, right? And you can't just, you know, push a guy a day back because they're facing the Orioles. That's not how it works. You mess up their entire routine. You know, they have a set plan every single day before they start pitching. You can't just say, oh, you're facing the Orioles, so you're going to pitch against the Orioles. You know, you have to win the games that are set out in front of you, no matter against if it's against the Rockies or, the, you know, whoever.
But so hold on, Seth. Hold on, I'm going to let you finish. They've already destroyed that continuity when AJ came out and said, you know what, we're going to start throwing him every fifth or sixth game instead of every four game.
Right, you could chart out who he was going to face. And the conversation, look, I'm not like TJ, Seth. TJ's been fired up about this the last 3 days. This conversation was had. I mean, John Jansen talked about it late last week. You absolutely could see on the horizon who he was going to be up against. But I agree with you, Seth, is that when you lose with him on the mound, I can't go crazy about it.
Right. And I disagree that he pushed him back to 6 days? 100%. I understand, you know, you don't want him to get hurt, but you guys are right. That's definitely not making a playoff push by any means.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I'm still saying that you guys are kind of overreacting based on, you know, one game. I mean, it's the major leagues. Sure, Scooble's on the mound. Sure, you're facing the Rockies.
Okay.
But, you know, you're still playing major league baseball players, and they've done well bouncing back against, you know, bad losses like this. So I just want to see how they do. Maybe you guys are right. Maybe that was the end of the line, and they're going to get.
I don't think it's the end of the line, Seth. I started the show by saying it's not over, but it hurt. No, I'm fine if you think it's an overreaction. You're right. Maybe they all count one, but I explained the math as to why this wasn't just one.
No, you know what? You had a few games that you could drop. You just didn't think one would be with Scooble on the mound to the Rockies.
Two.
So
you lost in Oakland last week with him on the mound,
no,
and you
right.
lost here. And no. If you combine the records of the Oakland A's, who are about 20 games under 500, 25, and the Rockies, who are 40, and I told you you would lose both those Scooble starts, and then my next question is, do you think you'd make the playoffs? You'd go, no.
Yeah. See, that because that's just it. You're on the razor's edge. Yes, you're going to lose some games.
Now, sweep the Orioles this weekend, and we're back.
Conversation.
But don't you almost have to sweep the Orioles this weekend? That's what it kind of feels like to me.
I can't say that because it really... Look, what did I do when I started the show? I said, okay, here's your math. Now you're down to 15 games. The Twins have 16. Let's say they lose the game in hand. Okay, so you got to be four games better over a 15-game rip. If the Twins go 500, Kenny, my answer would be yes. You probably would have to sweep.
I guess I'm more saying that emotionally because today, for me at least, I don't know how the rest of Tiger Nation feels, but today, for me, this felt like a backbreaker. It really did.
It's not a backbreaker.
I know it's
Kenny.
Not mathematically. You're right.
It's frustrating because, once again, you're going to lose some games. If you lost to the Orioles, you don't feel that badly. But when you lose to bad teams with your ace on the mound, it's like, guys, we this is one we couldn't afford to give away.
Yeah, we just talked yesterday, Kenny, and it was, look, you got the first game against the Rocks. If you get tonight, it's a BOGO. You have to preserve the games against the Rockies and the games against the White Sox if we're really doing this. So to answer your question, if the Twins cannot be better than they've been over their last 22 games, which they're 7-15, then... No, you don't need to sweep anybody. Just play semi-consistent baseball, be above 500, you'll creep in. But if the Twins are remotely average, it will put you in a position where you got to be like 12-3 or 13-4.
And as good as we've been and as bad as the Twins have been, I think water finds its level. And I felt like today was the first step in that.
Yeah, and again, the Twins have been without Correa and Buxton. both guys are close to coming back. I would say Buxton sooner than Correa. But yeah, it's just game by game. Now your assignment is get game one against Baltimore. Get off on the right foot here and get game one. And look, the Orioles rotation stinks. Stinks. They don't have anybody. All their pitchers are dead.
Yeah. And as I said,
they got Maury Povich on Sunday.
Are you the father?
You might be his daddy.
Well, here's
he's terrible. They're terrible. They have no arms right now.
Yeah, you gave away a game early that you couldn't afford to. So now it's yeah, I think we have reached the point you got to win each series if you really want a puncher's chance. Because
win every series, sweep the White Sox.
Because, yeah, because this is one where you can put the heat on the Twins. But if you go out there and you're just playing mediocre, you're letting them off the hook.
So 4-2, 6-3, 8-4. That would put you, if you won every series and swept the White Sox, you'd go 11-4. Meaning, you would need the Twins to be worse than 9-8.
Right.
Because just to give you the math on that.
Because if not, Kenny, close your ears, earmuffs. You'll look back at the A's and you'll look at back like at the game today for the Wings losing to the Coyotes.
How could he do that to us, Kenny?
You had to go there. No, you just had
earmuffs.
To.
I said earmuffs.
Poor Kenny.
I said earmuffs.
I miss David.
248-539-9797. Let's keep it timely. I'll mix in briefly. We can mix football. We can get to the callers. A lot left to do today. 97-1. Apollo, RIP. All right. Kenny, you want to get a little football in the mix? We'll return to the Tigers in a second. Let's get a little music, please.
All right, guys.
Oh, it's you.
It's me.
All right.
Hi.
What do you want?
You know what, Mike? Let's still have some fun with week one.
Okay.
How about we do some quarterback rankings based off of their performances for week one?
Daniel Jones, number 63.
it didn't go. The bar didn't go that low.
We didn't arrive there.
I have the top 10 plus the one who just didn't make the cut.
All right,
go ahead. You could tell me if too high, too low, or you know what? In the end, this guy belonged in there.
I love week one overreaction.
So, yeah, like I said, not saying that this is going to be the greatest quarterback, but just based off of week one performance, we start off with the Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love.
He's dead.
Week one performance. He played all the way until the final second of the
fine.
Last play. So,
I didn't have a huge problem. I mean, Jaden Reed apparently is Jerry Rice.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't bum me out because I want the Lions to win the Super Bowl. It only bums me out if we separate that and I go, look, I thought this guy was going to ascend into a top five QB this year. Hard to do when you probably miss the first month of the season.
This is true. Kenny?
No, I'm right there with you. And by the way, this is a power rank with quarterbacks, so I guarantee you one of our show favorites is going to be on there. Mr. Privilege Rhett.
Ugh.
He's in there, isn't he, Rico?
At number 10, Jalen Hurts. Hurts was 20 of 34 for 278 yards and two touchdowns.
He looked great.
Yeah.
He did. I got it wrong. I really wondered if the Eagles would ever look like they did 2 years ago. They looked awesome. And there's nothing I can say. Yeah, great. He's back. Super. Super for all.
At number 9, Gardner Minshew. 25 of 33. 257 yards, one touchdown, one interception. I didn't say for the season. I said for this week, for last week.
Speaking of week, are you aware of what Antonio Pierce did? He made, by analytics, so all Dan Campbell fans are going to like this. From an analytical perspective, he made the weakest, most spineless jellyfish decision in the last 20 years of the NFL. Punting at midfield on 4th and inches down in the second half. That type of call hasn't been seen since Bill Parcells coached the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Antonio Pierce.
Kenny.
Yeah, that's just fine with me.
At number 8, fresh off of his victory over the Colts, Texans quarterback CJ Stroud, 24-32, 234 yards, two TDs.
There's nothing I can say. It's unbelievable how he walked into the league and just continues on the routine. You never feel like he's a young QB. You never feel like he struggles. It just works. And that wasn't even his A game.
No.
I would term that as a solid C.J. Stroud performance.
Yeah, we're going to see a lot more of him on these power ranks.
I can't wait for the game this week. Caleb Williams and C.J. Stroud on the big stage. To just see if Caleb can get up off the mat and be functional. But B, I just genuinely like watching C.J. Stroud.
I like C.J. Stroud. And unfortunately, because of what he did, I think that's where the pressure comes on this year's quarterbacks. You're going to be like him, and this is where I always caution people, like, no, it normally doesn't work that way. CJ was a unicorn. Just like Sauce as a corner was a unicorn. Most guys don't start off that good.
Do unicorns stand on the sideline when they're not injured?
No, that's just Mr. Dangerous.
Got it.
At number 7... Now, I don't know if it was because of who he played, but you know what? He had great stats. So I got to give it to Derek Carr. He played the Panthers, but 3 touchdowns in the game.
You can mark this. This will be the only time Derek Carr appears on a top 10 power rank.
I was just about to say, the last guy we're going to see a lot, this guy we will not see.
Now, this is a one and done right here. This is a hit and run.
All right. The next guy I have is almost the opposite, the antithesis of what happened to Derek Carr. Because everything got stripped from him, at number 6 is Matthew Stafford. 34, 49, 317, touchdown and a pick. No O-line. One of your top receivers is gone. And
I'd have him
still
higher.
Took him to
I'd have him higher. It was one of the 3 most impressive, all things considered, performances of the week. Stafford was incredible. Incredible. I'd have him a little higher, but I'm glad he's on the list.
Okay. Still waiting on Brock Purdy.
Oh, don't worry. That's going to be number 1.
I know. That's exactly what I'm worried about.
Rat.
At number 5, this is the Mike Valeni special. 26 for 41 for 273 yards, a touchdown, plus he rushed for 122 yards. Averaging 7.6 yards a carry. That is Lamar Jackson.
Listen, it's a great regular season QB. The problem is, he's still Lamar. You can't have that rushing total as you head towards age 30. You can't have that rushing total and want your respect as a quarterback. And you can't miss wide open people when there's an opportunity to win the game, which he did the play before the Isaiah Likely play. He was splendid to watch. And it was one of the best performances of the week. But don't ever ask me to love him. Go win something.
Okay. Yeah, really solid regular season quarterback. I mean, he's going to have
fun. He's fun guy.
Right, 100%. He's going to have a ton of these performances, by the way, in the regular season.
Fun guy.
Okay. And number 4, for our guest phone screener, Paul Tua
Tagovailoa. You're not putting Tua up here, are you?
Yeah, at number 4. 23 of 37, 338 yards and a touchdown.
Problem is he didn't pay off those drives enough. That's all I would tell you. When you only score 20 points, I got a little problem with you. But you're right. He looks great. I think he's going to have a big game tonight. I know Paul's scared. He thinks they're losing to the Bills. I digress.
Yeah, Josh Allen 6-0 on Thursday night, and he's like 10-3 against the Dolphins. I'm a little concerned.
Whatever. Humidity. Things. I don't know. Leave it alone.
Kenny, you ready? At number 3.
Here we go.
Really?
Baker Mayfield.
Oh, great. I agree. Now, he played a garbage defense, and these stats are trumped up.
Right.
But he was outstanding. And by the way, he should have had another 50-yard touchdown on there if Jalen McMillan didn't drop it.
Yeah, 24 of 30, 289 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Yeah. Washington, going to be a rough road on defense this year.
At number 2.
Don't.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh.
291 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception.
Here's what the Chiefs are now. They're the greatest show on turf, 2024. They have retooled, and they are what the Rams were all those years ago, 25 years ago almost. That's what they are.
Yeah.
Their speed.
Xavier Worthy.
Everywhere. Rashi Rice, the running back core.
How stupid do you have to be the Buffalo Bills to
and trade twice with them and allow them to get both McDuffie and now Worthy?
Right.
I know.
Congratulations.
Well, how stupid you got to be to live in Buffalo? Awful.
Or All-American City. Line 3.
Please. Place sucks.
And at number one.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Come
fresh
on.
Fresh off of his win on Monday night.
You lose your credibility.
No. Actually, Paul brought his name up. Josh Allen.
Oh, thank God. All
Josh
right, good.
Josh Allen, 18 of 23, 232 yards, two touchdowns, and he rushed for 39 yards and scored two touchdowns.
Including a no Sean Moreno t-shirt leap.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. He went Superman mode, and when Allen's at his best, that's what he can do. Now, tonight, he's going to throw a red zone interception. I'm so proud of you. I was so scared you were going to put that rodent on this list.
The second Rico brought up, oh, I have a QB power rank, I was like, oh, here we go.
Right, right.
But you know what? It was the reverse of the reverse. That's the Jedi mind trick. See, I can do this. No, his stats weren't that. He didn't throw for any touchdowns. So.
Because he sucks.
No.
Great power rank.
So.
Thank you.
Ah, you're welcome.
97.1. And here's that audio you're going to want to listen to. Get out. Oh, my, Kenny.
There was a mess up in the system. This is not my fault.
I do not think Jeremy deserved that. All right, so we've talked about the Tigers. It's a very disappointing loss. I can't say stunning. It is Major League Baseball. But, I mean, Scooble on the mound against the Rockies. You can't lose that game. Especially you can't lose it only producing four hits and two runs. Can't do it. But they did. And now they sit four out behind Minnesota. And if Minnesota wins that game in hand, you'll be five out. Because, again, this tiebreaker is devastating. 15 games to go. So we talked about it. If you want that in specific, Odyssey.com rewind. I wanted to present something and ask the question. So ESPN had a college football week three buzz. And the headline, I'll read it with no editing. Georgia and Texas are still out front. Michigan's bleak future plus upset picks. Bleak future, one loss. Okay, so I have said this. I wasn't ready to greatly change my opinion about Michigan because I never had them in the playoff in the first place. I thought they were a 9-3, 8-4 team. It probably feels a little more 8-4-ish now, but bleak future. So Heather Dinich and Adam Rittenberg. Now, I don't know if you respect one of them, both of them, neither of them. Here's what they had to say. And I want to know, do you think the negativity with Michigan has gone too far? Not as cheating scumbags. We know that that will never go far enough.
No, I respect them.
But okay, so just about the team. I want to say for context sake, yes, you got beat badly by maybe the second best team in America. Maybe. Bigger crimes have been committed.
Right.
So here's...
I like Heather because she's the closest to really just... I don't care about any of this. I'm just doing a job. I don't have a favorite team.
Okay. Here's what she had to say. This is a team that could realistically lose five games. Texas, USC, Washington, Oregon, Ohio State. According to ESPN stats and info, a four-loss team has never been ranked in the committee's top 12. Michigan got beat soundly up front, couldn't get stops on third downs or convert third downs, 3 of 12. Lost the turnover battle 3-0. Coach Sherrone Moore said many of those issues, particularly the turnovers, are correctable. How much better can Michigan be on offense and defense? Michigan is number 103 in the country in offensive efficiency. Okay. Adam Rittenberg had his say. Michigan's troubles go beyond the quarterback position, although the resistance to adding a portal QB doesn't look good either. Big Ten coaches who watched the Texas game saw a Michigan team feeling the effects of losing 13 players to the NFL and lacking depth. The amount of talent they lost, this is more like the teams they had when they won six or seven games, a Big Ten coordinator said. A whole new squad, new defensive coordinator, whole new offense. The one exception I would take to that is Texas lost almost as much as you. So don't want to hear it. But do you think the negativity's gone too far based off of one game? Or do you believe it's justified?
You know what? This depends on what your expectations were. If your expectations were you're going to be in the playoffs, then the negativity is justified because, as Heather said, if you win four or five games, you're not going to the playoffs. Now, are they saying, oh, you're going to be Colorado bad? You're only going to win three games bad? You're going to be down at the bottom of the Big Ten bad? No, but if you think that this is a team that 2 weeks in, you know what, they're going to rally and they're going to make this playoff run. No, like Notre Dame, I think that, yes, they're going to end up in the playoffs. But Michigan, no. And Mike, that offense struggling is what I think a lot of people are looking at, because you wrote off Fresno State as, okay, it was rust, it was a bad game. But when you go back and rewatch the Fresno State game with the Texas game, you start to see, like, maybe we overvalued this team, and maybe we just went ahead and penciled them into the playoffs, and they're not a playoff team.
I think people need to wait for the USC game. I said it after the Texas game. I'll say it again. Did I get the Texas game wrong? Absolutely. I thought Michigan would play close.
Man, if we all got things right, we wouldn't be doing this job.
I thought they'd play close. I thought they'd be in the mix. I never imagined they'd get their pants taken off and then get beaten with them. Like, I just never imagined it. And it happened. Got it wrong. But I'm not going to react until the USC game, which, by the way, future line, look ahead line. Let's play. Let's see if Kenny can play the game. Kenny, what do you think the line on USC Michigan is in 2 weeks?
Ooh, I'll say Michigan laying 3.
USC laying 2.5.
Cross the bridge.
I'm not going to react until or unless they lose that football game.
Well, what would you have handicapped that line at if you were in charge of it?
It's start of the year. Michigan minus a touchdown.
What about right now?
Oh, I don't have an issue with USC being installed as the favorite based on NFL quarterback, NFL receivers. What did I just watch with Texas? Now, I will not react until that game. I'm not going to, as much fun as it would be for me because I hate their guts, I am a fair man. I'm just not going to write them off after one game, and Texas is superior to what I believe them to be this year. See, so I'm just going to, I got to wait for that game.
No, for me, it's one of those that you can have a quarterback that struggles, but you see, okay, he could do something. Kind of like how you were convincing me Saturday about Aiden Childs. You're like, hey, Reek, it's going to get better.
Right, there are flashes.
Right. I look at Davis Warren, and I think he just is what he is. I don't think that there's much more of a ceiling there. And if that's the case, you're going to struggle. And the fact that you then basically end drives, so we're going to put Alex Orji in. Okay, defense. They're running the ball. So let's go ahead and send 9 people to the line and stop the run. It's the offense. The defense, I think, is going to be okay. But unless they get a defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown, or they have to win the turnover battle, what did you say? They're like 100 and some in offense? Like, that's not going to get it done.
They're 103rd in offensive efficiency. So you do with it what you want. So I'm asking the question.
ESPN, and that's with air quote cupcake game in there.
ESPN put the piece out there. They termed it your bleak future. I'm not ready to go there, even though I'm a piece of garbage Spartan. I'm just not ready to go there yet. It's just like this whole future line Rico got out of Vegas. That if Michigan and Michigan State played today, Michigan would be minus 9.5. I'm not ready to go there. I'd still select Michigan. I'm not ready to go there with my own team. Show me that Boston College game in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Show me State being 4-0, lining up against a welfare version of Michigan and BC, which is physical, ground and pound, has a mobile QB. Show me.
Yeah, because I can tell you this, both in-state schools, are going to be, their fan base is going to be feeling great. Because you kind of got free squares this weekend, the get-right games, where you're like, yeah, we're back. It's the following week that's going to kind of be a little bit of a separation Saturday, MSU on the road at BC and USC coming in here.
Yep.
That's where, at the end of that game, you're right. That's when I can say, all right, you know what, I can buy that line, or know what, that line was set way too high or maybe way too low.
Yeah, I'm just not ready to overreact to it based on Texas is really good, man. Sark has kind of built Bama light.
Texas is good, but, and I said
they're
this
physical,
look,
Rico.
I said this in the pod, and I'm going to say it here. Texas kind of took the blueprint of what Fresno State did and said, we got better players. We got better Jimmys and Joes. We can get this done. But Fresno State showed everybody, here's kind of the blueprint of beating Michigan. We just didn't have the players to hang with them, and eventually they wore us down. If you're Michigan, it's those later in the year, those almost 50-50 games now, games that we didn't think were, but now when you play Indiana, it's like,
lose the USC game, and I'm willing to hear the 5-loss chatter. I'm just not ready to go there yet. I just, hey, if that's weak, call me out. I don't care.
Mike, it's not weak. It's one of those, because it is a little bit of, they're Michigan, and you do rely on the brand. It's why it took Florida State getting beat twice before people were like, okay, you know what?
Yeah.
Maybe not that good.
Now, they lose to Memphis this weekend. Oh,
but
boy.
Once again, Notre Dame. Notre Dame is on notice. It's like, wait, I thought you were good. Maybe you're not.
You see that Michigan, line was down to 8.5 earlier today?
I did not. But for, I think for Michigan, they're feeling that way because it's not because they're going to have this horrible season. They're not going to make the expectations of going back to the playoffs for the, what, the fourth straight year.
Yes.
248-539-9797. Kenny, ticket text coming out on both the Tigers and this ESPN question about U of M.
On U of M, I never expected us to beat or be close to Texas, so I don't view it as negativity. Another one, it's too early to overreact. Another one, Texas is just really, really good. I think the bleak future for Michigan football is right on. I think they are a football team that is slightly better than 500.
Yeah, I see. That's the type of stuff I'm not ready to do.
So that would be 7-5.
Yeah, I'm not ready to go there. We'll get to your calls. I want to get to the people. And again, Tigers, we gave it an hour. We can continue that conversation, but they've lost the last two Scooble starts in the heat of a pennant chase. Losing today to the Rockies while only producing 4 hits, it can't happen. It doesn't mean it's over. It's not over. But this felt like more than just one loss today. This hurt. This was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, again, will we have a different tenor if we come on air Monday and you swept the O's? Well, yes. But in the here and now, since we don't do Let It Play Out radio, because that's boring and dull, yeah, it hurt badly.
Yeah.
So we could talk about it. 248-539-9797. We'll get with you, the people, next. 97.1. All right, straight to the people. Tigers are in play, and has the negativity with Michigan football just gone too far? ESPN wrote a piece. I'm just saying there's bigger crimes than getting destroyed by Texas. Now, the negativity hasn't gone far enough about you being cheating scumbags. Now, that's different. I think it's gone too far. I'm not ready to write this football team off on September 12th.
No.
I'm just not.
Mike, I think it's a matter of perspective. If you had them going to the playoffs, you had your come-to-Jesus moment against Texas, and you realize maybe this an 8-4 team. If it's 8-4 with such lofty expectations, it is a bad season for you. Some schools, 8-4, Michigan State, you would embrace. But for Michigan, 8-4, it's like Alabama going 8-4.
It's really who they were in the modern era until they started cheating. So in essence, wouldn't it just be a return to their roots?
Return to glory.
I'm sure Johnny Porkfats has that book already under production. Robert, 97.1. Hey, Rob.
Hey, you guys. Can I jump on both topics?
Absolutely, man. Take it to 6.
Okay. So with Michigan, honestly, I had them at 9-3. I did think they were good. These coordinators are garbage. I mean, they would not be a Big Ten coordinator if it wasn't for all the scandals that we had.
No, agree totally. So, you look at your OC, yeah. He's got no chops. He's got barely any resume. 1 year of calling plays at ODU. He was a QB coach last year, which is a no-show gig at this place when it was J.J. McCarthy. And your D.C., I mean, hey, it doesn't matter, Robert, if I don't have a high Q score in Ann Arbor. I told you you wouldn't like Wink. That guy had no professional opportunities. This was his retirement gig. Put grandpa in a rocking chair.
You have 3 first-round picks on that defense, and that defense looks like it couldn't even stop Aiden Childs on a bad day.
So, not going there yet, Robert.
No, but Robert, I get what you're saying. It kind of reminds me of, I remember like when Juwan had the 2 lottery picks and Hunter Dickinson and missed the tournament. It's like, how did that happen? You had the talent there. I'm with you on the defense.
Yeah, so honestly, I don't believe, and this offense is awful. So honestly, I really don't see them winning more than 6-7 games.
Wow.
That's kind of where I'm at with Michigan.
Wow. Okay. All right. Go ahead on the Tigers.
So the witchcraft that they're doing right now as far as offense, defense, putting it together, you have 2 pitchers that had a 7 and an 8 ERA respectively, and they're coming up and they're just looking like, you know, Cliff Lee and Tommy Maddox all in their primes. So with that being said, having Tarik Skubal pitch against a no-namer, even if we had a bullpen day and it had – we still lose the game. Okay, now against a great offense, which you guys have already said, you know, absolutely true, is the Baltimore pitching is terrible. But if you had Scooble pitching game one, now you've neutralized that offense a bit, and now you're at a 50-50 split away from possibly winning the series against Baltimore.
Yeah, listen, that's – Robert, I totally understand the point. And when we were talking about it a week ago, it had a little more merit. But now here's the issue. You used them against two horrific teams in the A's and the Rockies, and you lost both of those starts. So you're not wrong, but I want you to understand why I'm not like pounding the table and like screaming and yelling about it. Because when you lose these games, what am I supposed to say?
Well, and it's crazy because you got everything makes absolutely no sense as to how everything's working. I'm happy that it's working out that way, but at the same point though, you can't lose to Colorado, which has arguably the worst pitching in baseball. And then it just puts you really behind the eight ball. And now we just got to hope that
you got to get hot. You got to get red hot. And look, the biggest thing, you got to hope the Twins just don't turn it around. Now, look, just now, Byron Buxton will be off the IL tomorrow. So he'll be back. He'll be available for their Red Series. Correa's probably a few days behind after that. There's video of him in the cage with the big club. I think if he comes back, he won't play shortstop, but you can DH him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Robert, this loss is more than one loss because now the Twins have a game in hand. And if they win that game in hand, you're five out. There is no tiebreaker. You know, but look, you're playing the Orioles. The rotation's a mess. There is no Grayson Rodriguez. There is no John Means. It just, you got to go and you got to play. Yeah, and you got to get hot.
You got to have the mentality we have to win every series to at least keep.
If they win every series and sweep the Sox at the end, that's 11-4. That would require, now here's the key. You're four games out. So that would mean the Twins would have to be better than 9-8.
Let's hope they get a loss tonight.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
No. So, I get it. Right.
Twins don't play tonight.
Well, I mean, when they next time.
So I'm just, when you look at the math, so yesterday we were joking around about the Fangraphs thing. 11.5% when the games finished last night, 6.7 after your loss today.
So almost in half.
It hurt. It hurt bad. 2-4-8.
And a game that was supposed to be a free square.
Correct. Let's go to Sam on a cell, 97.1. Sammy, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, so yeah, I was just thinking that the Michigan reactions are a little bit of an overreaction just because we kind of did play arguably one of the best quarterbacks in college football right now. And yeah, our defense is good. Our defensive coordinator is not. And our offense, we all just kind of experienced some growing pains. And you put us up against one of the best teams in college football right now at week two. There's going to be some growing pains losing your whole offense, your head coach, and just a bunch of guys. Like, I think it's a little bit of an overreaction that we're going to be really bad.
The thing about what you just said, Sam, what bothered me, and I don't know if this bothered you in the game, was, Quinn Ewers in that offense was good, but I thought your defense was going to be equal. I thought the game was going to be decided between your offense and their defense because I thought, your defense was going to be a push and they wouldn't be able to score as easily as they did.
But yeah, I mean, but then doesn't that would come down a little bit more to the defensive coordinator's decisions a little bit just on watching the play of Quinn Ewers. I mean, you have enough on him that you can maybe try to balance it out a little bit because our defense does have a lot of talent, and it comes down to that decision-making a little bit.
No, Sam, that's fair. I mean, I guess when and all else fails, you just blitz because I didn't see any type of confusion. It was almost like they knew your plays. They knew exactly where you were going. Oh, you're taking your two D tackles out the game. We're going to run up the middle. You're going to bring them in the game. We're going to go either left or right. Where's Will Johnson? We'll run the bubble screen to the opposite side. And Michigan never adjusted their defensive game plan. That would be problematic to me. And maybe that's why some people are saying, hey, maybe, you don't have the Jimmys and Joes, and maybe we overinflated this team. Like I said, I don't think you're bottoming out, but I think you're not making the playoffs. Even though it was one game, I don't see anything offensively that tells me, or it's not even a quarterback that you're waiting who's hurt, and you're like, okay, once this guy comes back, everything changes. I don't see that.
248-539-9797. Get more of your phone calls, some ticket texts as well. We got to get a some more football in the mix as well. We got a lot to do.
You know what? Sometimes there are firsts in radio, first times in your career. Even if you have a long career, there's always a first. And Mike, I think we may be hitting our first. Let's go to caller Matt. Matt, you're on 97.1.
Hey guys, how you doing this afternoon?
How are you?
I'm doing good. Just wanted to basically give you both the kudos for being such a positive beacon to the sports fans here in Michigan. More importantly, just your love for the Tigers and Michigan, importantly. I mean, I know this is a tough year, but just how much you supported JJ and Jim Harbaugh last year, really appreciate that. It really made my day every time I listen to you guys. Just pure positivity.
This feels so authentic.
Right.
I feel so loved.
Here comes a cheer.
Yeah, just let's get to the real stuff here, Matt. What are we doing?
I just appreciate positivity, guys. It's the negativity sometimes gets rough. So just some sarcasm there is what it is. So
Hold on, Matt. Seriously. What's the issue? Like, tell me what the issue is so I can understand. Or you could hang up. I don't know. I hope that was worth your time, I guess.
Right, because on the call it said that Mike and I were Michigan slappies.
Which I've never been accused of.
Ever.
I hate their guts.
First thing I did was did the talkback. Paul, did you mistype and not put state in there? He's like, no. I had to double check and say, are you sure? Valeni and Rico.
Just so I'm clear, my take on the Tigers today was this loss was terrible. It feels like way more than one loss. I gave you the math. We talked about how I wish they would have pitched Scoble against Baltimore. All right, that's one. Two, I'm not ready to hit Michigan with a chair because on September 12th, with a loss to maybe the second best team in America, I don't know that they're worse than 9-3. I'm not ready to say they're 6-6. Those are the two takes. So if Matt, you're going to call up and say, well, you're a slap for U of M. Well, I mean, first of all, if I could vaporize them with one of those Men in Black memory sticks and have
the neuralizer,
if I could hit that whole university with one of those things, I would do it. I don't know where we're going with that.
I don't as well.
And then if you think I was going to be nice to you last year, you're insane. You're cheating scumbags. So I really don't know what you want.
I'm with you. I don't know where that call was going.
Kenny, take a text.
It's a shame. I wanted to get into a little brouhaha there. I was excited.
Right. Hey.
I was excited.
Say it with your chest.
I mean, it's not a big deal, but like, yeah, you're right. I guess I should say Michigan's going to go 2-10. Like, what are we doing?
It's a couple of Michigan slaps on the air. That's all.
Yeah, you know. Hey, Rico's got one of those Ufer horns, too. Yeah, meanwhile, the other 8 hours of the day are the play-by-play team. But there you go. Accuse us of being slapped.
You know what? We're on 6-10 every day.
Yes, Kenny.
Let's not overreact yet. The defense is too good to be a 5-loss team, unnamed texter.
But here's your problem. You got two problems. A, you don't know the other team's place. And B, Wink Martindale is nowhere near the modern defensive coordinator that a Jesse Minner or a Mike McDonald were. I am not ready to say you've got the steel curtain. This is more about me believing Michigan's offense has to be better than what we've seen. Mm-hmm. How much? I can't speak to. You go out and lose to USC in 2 weeks, I'll be right there with you where it's like, you know what? This is a 5-loss football team.
I'm trying not to sound the panic alarm, but Texas really worried me.
It should worry you, but it's September 12th.
Michigan will not be bowl eligible this year.
That
sounds
my.
Like a bit of an overreaction.
First of all, I would pay good money for that to happen. But I come on. Are we really going that far?
Then we got some on the Tigers, too. Nice BOGO, Mike, with a sad face afterwards.
I know. Hey, man, I can't. What do you want me to do when your team goes out and gets 4 hits? Give me a break.
Any idea why they pulled Scooble after only 84 pitches?
He did take a line drive off of his wrist, basically.
I assume that was the reason, too. But
well, he's also a 6-inning pitcher right now. They're not letting him go deep in games. He's throwing 99 miles an hour in the 6th inning. He's already pitched a ton of innings this year. You're at the end. Guys, what do you want? I don't think you lost the game because you pulled him. You lost the game because you got four hits and two runs.
The Tigers have bounced back from losses like this recently. Winning both upcoming series against the Royals and Orioles can set them up for a nice wild card spot. I agree.
It's going to take more than that, but okay. Got it.
On the other side, the magic is over, boys. Time to focus on football.
I'm already focused on football, but I took an oath with my listeners that if they got three games out, I would talk about them. And if they are three games out on Monday, they'll still be a part of the discourse. If they're not, they don't exist.
Correct.
Those are my rules.
Correct.
This one simply says, this game hurt my feelings.
It did. It hurt all of our feelings.
That could have been said from me.
It hurt all of our feelings. Go to Josh on a cell, 97.1. Josh, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How about y'all?
Good, man. What's up?
Well, first off, that last call was definitely strange. I was definitely confused when he called in.
Like, I'm all for good ball breaking, but like, I mean, you got to execute it well. That was just strange.
Yeah. Well, real quick, I just wanted to say, first off, I live down here in Virginia. I heard your cash a ticket advertisement on 106.7 The Fan down here, and I was just like, oh, all right. I guess Lenny's down in Virginia now.
We're making moves. I mean, come on. We're off to a 12-6 start in college. Come on. Let's go.
Yeah, you got to spread it around, spread the love.
Let's go.
All right. With the Tigers, I was just going to say, like, I brought up the Nats on the show before their World Series run. Around this time, they were very close to being in the wild card. And, their motto was go 1-0 every game. Just winning that particular game. Now, I agree that they should have rested Scooble because just at that time with the Nats, they were moving Strasburg and Scherzer to pitch on more important games that were upcoming, whether it was the next day or the next series.
Right.
And they were strategically moving around their lineup, or their rotation, rather, to give them the best odds to win that specific series. And that whole mentality of, you got, 15 games left, and you're four games back if they win tomorrow, five games back if they win tomorrow, you got to go all in. And if that means, you got to put your best guys on the mound. Now, losing this game today really set you back, because if they don't turn it around and they just kind of fizzle out here, I mean, you're going to look back on this game and be like, wow, I cannot believe we lost here with Scooble on the
mound. Last two.
You're going to have to go back to the
– look at what they did in Oakland. Yeah, you lost against the Oakland A's and the Colorado Rockies in back-to-back Scooble starts as you're trying to make a wild card.
Right, and so that's my point as of – now you kind of have to go all in, and just go back to a set rotation, because you kind of had a little bit of wiggle room being 3.5 games out, basically 4 games out. But now you drop this game with your ace on the mound. This is going to be a decimating loss if, the Twins win tomorrow. It's gonna kill this team. I do not think they'll make the playoffs if the Twins win tomorrow because of this loss. And that's not me trying to overreact. I'm trying to face facts here.
No, Josh, I think you're right, because at that point you're running out of games. And it,
what are you talking? If you lose tomorrow against Baltimore and the Twins win tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, and then you're basically 6 games.
Because that's why this game was so key, because you were keeping pace with the three.
You're on the razor's edge right now. And again, it can change in a hurry, but as you sit here now at 5:42 in the afternoon, your back is up against the wall. 15 to go. He's right. I mean, if you lose tomorrow night and the Twins win, and I think they got Bailey Ober on the mound tomorrow night, who he was a gas can 2 starts ago, but he's one of their better pitchers. Yeah, I mean, right then, okay, now you're 4.5 out. So you're for really the day, no, you're really 6. Yeah. There is no 5.5. Yeah. So he's not wrong in that sense. So, yeah, there can't be any more missteps. They're up against it a little bit. All right, let's go to Brian. He'll get the final word, and then we got Rieger coming in. Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. A Michigan fan here, and I clearly overestimated their ability to replenish coming out of last year, as evident at the Texas game. And I think my concern is really I didn't see any elite traits. They're not pushing anyone around. And, say what you want about Harbaugh, but he beat teams always that they were supposed to beat. And I don't know that we can assume that anymore. And so, we got the USC game and the Oregon game. Who knows what happens there? Ohio State, I don't even want to think about that. But my concern is, do they get nipped by an Illinois? do they get nipped by someone like that? Because I don't think they're going to have the dominance in the game control that they have over the last few years. So they're much more susceptible for someone else to jump up and get them. And that's why I'm a little concerned that might be heading towards like a 7 or 8 win season. That unfortunately, that's sort of where I'm at.
Yeah. I look, I wouldn't be feeling great if I were a Michigan fan. I'm just not ready to turn into Hatchet and go 6-6. Like, if they beat USC, think about what this all feels like.
They fixed it.
Yeah, you're not going to have people screaming 5 losses. Yeah. I want to give them the opportunity that I would hope people would give my team.
Yeah, you beat USC, and now all of a sudden you're looking at that Oregon game saying, yeah, Oregon's not looking that great, and you can beat Oregon.
Right. It just I wanted to, you know, God forbid we give it to the third week of September. I don't think that's a huge ask.
Absolutely. I think the USC game will be telling. That's just some of the things that I just want to watch.
And here, if you want to look for something tomorrow and you can do what you want with it, but you weren't great running the football against Fresno, clearly weren't against Texas. Arkansas State gives up about 200 yards rushing a game. They couldn't stop Tulsa last week. They couldn't stop Tulsa. Yeah. If you don't run this football with force on Saturday to the tune of between 200 and 250 yards, then you know what? Sound whatever alarm bells you want.
Yeah, I would simply say for both schools, Michigan, Michigan State, believe half of what you see on Saturday. Because you're going to see a lot of good stuff going on. Believe only about half of that, maybe even 40%.
Try 0 for me. Like, no, with State?
Both.
But I just don't want anyone to get hurt.
Right. Both schools are like, could run up the score, and each combined can score over 100 matter. Points.
Won't matter.
Right.
Only bad can come out of the two games.
So get ready to send this over to Wojo and Rieger, coming off of a Tigers loss where it was a game they could not afford to lose. Let's just call it what it is. Now you got to go out there and you're going to need some losses from other teams, and you're going to have to catch fire in order to keep pace. Kenny, a couple ticket texts before we hand this show off.
Good thing we saved Scooble for a meaningless game against Chicago at the end of the year. That's unnamed texter. I really don't care if they make it this season or not. Mike made a great point that Ilitch needs to spend this offseason.
No, I mean, look, we all want them in. Like, That's fun. Sports have to be fun. I thought they'd win 85 before the year. They might actually get to 85. The problem is, had they tried, and I don't want to go down this pathway because you know the words that are going to leave my mouth, and then people get all upset. It's like, all right, well, then have it your way and don't make the playoffs. They absolutely had ways they could have done this. And at no turn has there been an urgency from the organization. So next year, here's the deal. Win the division or kindly leave. That's it. That's it. Next year, no matter what happens here, the expectation, and I expect them to behave accordingly, is win the Central.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to hear about blocking people at all. Go out, make a couple moves. You don't have to break the bank and bring in some top player. You don't have to go full Shohei, but you bring in some bats. You bring in an extra arm. If you like Flaherty that much, go bring him back.
A last one on the Michigan stuff here. Here's where Michigan fan is at. I told my girlfriend Saturdays are wide open to make sure I don't miss a Lions
game. Holy hell, after one game?
There's a lot of doom and gloom on the ticket text from Michigan.
All right, listen, you know, maybe I'm just a Wolverine slap.
You are.
But I'm waiting until that USC game until I write them off. I think that's the same thing I'd like people to do with my team.
Mike, what you're doing is responsible. What you're doing is smart. But these are fans. Short for fanatic. It goes up. Yeah. This is, you're being very pragmatic about it.
Yeah, because it's also a statement that you didn't just play a team. Not only the fact that Texas beat you, but the way that they beat you. I'm actually like, you know what?
But see, no, I think it was followed by, okay, you struggled against Fresno State, so maybe you were just getting the rust gone, and you know what? It was going to be a game against Texas. You may lose.
I thought it was going to be, and I got it totally wrong. But I'm not going to write them off until USC.
Yeah.
And if they beat USC, none of these people are going to be over there. They're going to sound like Benetti during the game. They'll all have a full bone. What's up, Walsh? I'm sorry. You walked in at the wrong time.
I was at the game. How was the TV broadcast today? They must have been
Let me give you live audio of Benetti and company.
Where's the explosion? Well, then the ninth inning happens, and the Rockies get two runs.
Dude, it could be a dribbler through the left side, and it's just like...
And now it's over.
Is it?
Oh. They're eating the dogs.
Do another debate. Yeah. I need more drops.
We need one a week.
Yeah, October. Seriously. And Fox, they say. Although Donald's very upset with the moderators.
Yeah.
When I walked in and turned it on, and that was the first thing that came out was like,
oh.
Hey, in all seriousness, though, like, hey, he didn't do himself any favors, but they didn't press her the way that they pressed him.
No, not at all.
They asked her, did you meet Putin? Ask the question again until she answers it.
Okay, but I will say this. They let him jump in.
Oh, God, it was insane. Oh, it was nuts.
After the time was up.
It's like you and I arguing about Michigan football, and you're like, word on pepperoni. Yeah. And I'm like, wait, what?
Meanwhile, dog eating.
Hey, well, how do you know this?
I saw it on TV.
I want to go back to Malik Nabers for a minute. And you're like,
it is so bad that Saturday Night Live would probably say we had a skit for this, but we decided we can't outdo this. We're just going to watch this all over again.
They'll just play it again.
Right, we've cut up the highlights.
It's got to be a new SNL this week, right?
Wojo, seriously, I would. If I'm lowering my. Hey, guys, we just cut up the top 20 highlights. We're just going to play that because there's nothing we can write funnier than this.
I don't know how you can top it.
He didn't talk about as much golf as I would have enjoyed.
What is coming up next?
We're going to talk about the Tigers. Are we having a funeral? And then Wojo says maybe Michigan's just rebuilding.
No way.
He did say it like that.
Well, maybe they are.
I'm just saying.
I can't help you.
Yeah, I know.
I do try.
You got him for 2 hours. Wojo.
I'm not the. Remember something.
Could one of you take him out with you?
Yeah, where do you guys want to go?
No, I've worked with Rieger. We always have fun because he doesn't attempt this stuff with me. Mm-hmm. He thinks he can get over on you.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Stop it.
You just have to have the pre-show talk.
We're going to be very serious.
Jeff?
Him?
We're doing this and we're doing that. We're not going to do this.
Yes.
And now you should do that.
And guys, I'm not a child, okay?
And you do that.
How dare you?
Actually, hold on.
That?
Give us some of that Bally's audio.
No, who is that?
There's a bleeder through the left side. Hey, it's strike one. And ball four.
Okay.
Guys. Stop it!
97-1.
Good bunt.
Planet Fitness is the whole... Planet Fitness is the... Okay, Kenny, help me out here. Can you help a brother out?
Too late.